is KBOO244321. So you can donate that way too. That's KBOO244321. That's the text. And you can email a check at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland 97214. So I had to get those right. And Tangent, you are fabulous. You bring up some great points.
So here's one just real quick. So what you said, like, what would you say to President Trump? And like, these people are in power. So then as soon as you say that, you give them more power.
Right.
I just, they stop believing in them. They're not going to do what they say. They lie and get your vote. And
but they have the finger on the button, is my point.
Yeah, but you get, like, that's too scary.
But it's real. They have the finger on the button. Yeah, how do we get in front of them?
There's no point, you know, if that happens, all of what we're saying now is basically worthless, but...
Exactly. Yeah. That's my point. We have to figure out a way to get in front of these people, get them out of office, and get people in office who care. You and I and many of our listeners lived through the Cold War. We were doing, for whatever reason, under our desk for a nuclear explosion, right? We had these trials that we grew up learning through the Cold War. Well, at somewhere in the late 80s, early 90s, it dawned on everybody that they love their children too. And it sounds like I'm going to be off the air. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ty.
Have a good day.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 5:30 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found at our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a global audience, produced at a different location every week. I'm Rosie Boltman, host of the People's Program on KCSB-FM in Santa Barbara. Today on Sprouts, we'll hear an audio documentary I produced about Serbia's historic anti-corruption protests. You'll hear from students, citizens, and academics on the ground in Serbia, all fighting for a brighter future. Without further ado, here's my audio documentary on Serbia's record-breaking anti-corruption protests. Serbia is experiencing its largest protest movement in history.
The feeling of being on the streets of your own city with so many fellow citizens is indescribable.
The small, landlocked country in Eastern Europe has been battling corruption for a long time, but things came to a breaking point in November of 2024.
All of it started back in November when the canopy of a railway station in Novi Sad collapsed and killed, unfortunately, 16 people.
I was waking up next to my boyfriend and, like, looking at my phone and seeing the notifications, seeing the news, seeing everything, and, like, turning to him and, like, 15 people died yesterday. Today. Yeah, I don't, you know, it's like a total confusion in your head. And you're like, how? Why? You know, you have, like, a million questions spinning around and you don't know how to answer it. You're the only thing that you are sure about is corruption. The only thing you are at that moment of complete craziness, you're completely sure that the corruption is to blame.
I spoke with five Serbians involved in the protest in some capacity or another. Two university students, one high schooler, a professor, and a supportive citizen.
Hi, I'm Stefan. I'm in my last year of marketing studies, which is amazing. And I was supposed to graduate this year, but the plans kind of changed a bit. And currently I'm part of the media team at my university.
Hello, my name is Vukan. I'm born and living in Belgrade, Serbia, 45 years old.
My name is Nemanja Milošinović and I'm 17 years old. I live in Belgrade and I attend the third grade of gymnasium, the high school.
My name is Emilka Tomanović. I teach sociology at University of Belgrade.
I also spoke to Isadora, a student protester in her last year of university. Protests and blockades are happening in the streets of Serbia virtually every single day.
16 minutes silence is held every day at 11:52 at multiple locations through Belgrade and all country of Serbia. This is our way of respectfully and peacefully reminding the authorities and the government and the public that no one has yet been held accountable for those who lost their lives.
Continually for the past way too many years, there's been problems in this country, and they just kind of started it with blocking the university, which means blocking everything, like from classes to the people that are working, the teachers, administration, everything. And that's actually how the whole movement kind of started, and all the other faculties and universities were inspired, I would say, by them. We all recognized the same problems. And that's how all of it, I guess, started.
The first milestone was the first big protest in Slavia Square on the 22nd of December. So you have this mass protest, you know, every city that has a state university would go one after another. And what was, again, original, that they started marching from different towns to those universities, which was brilliant because they choose paths that are not the straight paths or main roads, but side roads, in order to reach common people, poor people, elderly people, so on, and it built a lot of very strong emotion. It became, from protest, it became movement.
So there was this protest in Novi Pazar. Serbia is vast majority is Orthodox Christians. In Novi Pazar are Muslims. They felt like they were not part of Serbia because they were Muslims. So the students changed all of that in 2 days, literally. They made a big protest in Novi Pazar, where you could see the Muslims and Christians, pure love between them.
Our record is March 15th, yeah. And know how much people it was on this protest. Some people say 1.5 million, one say 500,000, one say 1 million, one say 300,000. We don't know, but it's a lot of people and the biggest protest in Serbian history, actually.
And you see this unity, this community, these people that are like, I can't describe it in Serbian, let alone in English.
Even the students themselves are amazed how they responded in such a strong and loud way. Nobody expected that because they were, you know, stereotypically considered as a millennial generation, always caught up in this digital devices and so on.
Our older generations, we just sat by the TVs or walking with them or whatever. We cried for months, like the whole generation older, they literally purified my soul. So I was crying for months, and now I'm finally got that out of my system, so now I can so I can just support him and do something concrete if I can.
Despite the size and longevity of the protest, taking to the streets in Serbia is far from safe. Protesters often face brutality from the police and run into violent counter-protesters who many think are acting on behalf of the government.
But during 16 minutes of silence, our government used a sound cannon, which is not legal in our country.
We have three young people who are still in prison in Novi Sad. They are the only political prisoners in Europe outside Turkey.
Just like the persistent attacks, like physical attacks, the girl that's our colleague, that's our age, that could be like our friend, got hit by a car, like was on its roof. It's like, what kind of an inhumane act is that? What do you have to have put in your head for you to think that it's like, it's normal? And that kind of caused this rage in me. It's like, it's literally a rage. And I was like, no, that's it. I have to like get involved, have to do something.
What they did, they attacked university teachers by threatening to withdraw our salaries. Now we are receiving 12% of our previous salary, which is not sufficient for you to pay your social due diligence, health insurance, pension, and so on.
I'm aware that the safety situation isn't ideal and there is a risk, but with this kind of determination, energy, the people around me and the just causes we're standing up for, I have never felt afraid or tired.
I don't think of myself as this like big scary woman, like I'm going to protect somebody. It's not like that. It's just I have this personal characteristic of mine that it angers me. It angers me so much. The whole injustice thing, the whole corruption thing, the whole violence thing, that I want to like, I just want to stand in the way of that physically and metaphorically.
Aleksandar Vučić is Serbia's current president, a title he has held since 2017. The people I spoke with described the Serbian government as neglectful at best. At worst, the Vučić regime is oligarchical, violent against dissenters, and friendly towards predatory foreign interests.
At this point, all I want to see is this corrupt government fall down.
In 2023, there was a mass shooting at the primary school, and also followed because there was not adequate response of the state, because there is no state. This state is so-called captured state.
7 months ago, when you showed that roof collapse in some school, that person would get fired and nobody would care, nobody would know. Now the footages like that are coming from all sides. It's like Serbia is falling apart, like the schools, the kindergartens, the hospitals.
The most popular media in Serbia are those that support the government and are kind of owned by the government. And with that, whatever we do is gonna look bad through the lens of those media.
They enhance this, what we sociology call system corruption, which is this clientelism, and made kind of a partocratic society and the state, which is not responsible to its citizens, and sheer, pure autocratic regime.
And you know, that's the crazy part, like everything that's insane that happens, you know that the government is responsible, that Serbian Progressive Party is responsible, that like Vučić is responsible.
Serbia occupies a unique place on the world stage. Serbia is not in the European Union, nor is it a part of NATO. Serbia is actually a really young country, forming independently after the collapse of Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia was a nation comprised of what are now separate countries in the Balkans. Beginning in the early 1990s, countries like Croatia began to secede from Yugoslavia, prompting a series of civil wars. International powers were unable to regulate these wars how they wanted, and in 1999, NATO began a 2.5-month bombing campaign in Serbia. Around 2,000 civilians were killed, and Serbia, already poor, turned poorer. Serbia became independent of its last Balkan counterpart, Montenegro, in 2006. Since then, powerful countries haven't left Serbia alone, hungry for the country's mineral reserves, or in the case of Jared Kushner, a profitable piece of land.
I see the start of the problems after the collapse of Yugoslavia, because that's like the bigger picture where big empires obviously decided that Balkans should be like, I don't know, New Africa or South America in Europe. So,
and because we're kind of a tool of some kind, some sort, in the Balkans for the Americans. And then you get to the point of natural resources that they want to exploit. Then you get to the point of Trump's son-in-law, who is buying the culturally historical site that they bombed, Americans bombed, NATO bombed in the 90s. You're buying that. You're making a hotel in that place. Like, that's the level of insanity I'm talking about.
But the point is that Aleksandar Vučić now literally gave all he gave mines to Chinese. He gave the oil company to Russians. He wants to give Germans and French to build nuclear power plants and storage for the nuclear waste in Serbia. And the worst of all is that lithium mining. Now they want to mine lithium on the most fertile land in the world. You know, at the time when everybody is talking that we will have issues with the world hunger soon.
You're listening to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program bringing you local radio productions of global interest. I'm Rosie Boltman, host of the People's Program on KCSB-FM in Santa Barbara, and we're listening to an audio documentary about the mass anti-corruption protests in Serbia. The protesters in Serbia have six key demands.
According to research conducted by independent non-government organizations, over 60% of Serbian citizens officially support our demands. Well, we have six demands. First demand is the publication of all documentation related to the reconstruction of the railway station in Novi Sad.
The other demands aim to hold government officials responsible for their handling of the protests and increase the higher education budget.
And they are really asking the system to work, that institutions work, that this corruptive deal of the building of this or reconstruction of this railway station should be made transparent. This is the demand that will never be met because it will reveal the corruption on a high level.
Our protests are leaderless, and it is precisely this characteristic that has earned them widespread public support. All our major decisions are made by university plenums. Plenums are organized gatherings of all students who wish to express their views on the blockades and protest and all political situations. Decisions are made through the principle of direct democracy, determining how to proceed in various situations. Each plenum is facilitated by a team of moderators elected by majority vote during the plenum itself. These moderators read and manage the agenda items, oversee the voting process, and give the floor to anyone who wishes to ask a question. any proposal that receives is a majority of over 50% is accepted and included in the agenda.
We all have to communicate between each other, you know, so it's like a huge operation. There are different assignments for different colleges because different colleges are different expertise. There is like a College of Organizational Sciences, let's call it that. And they are like the major part of like, how are we going to execute all this? How are we going to call the people to action? How are we going to arrange the bikers? How are we going to arrange the stage? Who is going to talk? When it's going, the timeline. And then you have the College of Law, who are going to say, this is legal to do, this is illegal to do, basically.
I serve as the security monitor on the protest, at the protest, and together with other security monitors, I'm responsible for maintaining peace and order during the demonstrations.
I became part of a media team since I'm studying marketing. So it kind of made sense to me, like, okay, should I go to the media team? Because, you know, that's what I'm studying, that's what I'm doing.
I mean, I'm in a security group. That's what we're calling it, work group, what we're calling it. And there's media group, there's a strategic group, there is donations, logistics. It's like a huge company, let's say, that doesn't have a CEO, because everybody that's a worker is a CEO at the same time.
When we knew that we need to create our own like media identity and identity in general in media, and we knew that that was going to be mostly through social media.
In my point of view, the only reason I can find why they are so unbaffled by all the poison that they pour out of the television is because they don't watch television. Like you younger generations don't watch television. You inform yourself on internet. And I think that's the main thing. When people stop watching TV and start informing themselves, then I'm sure that everybody would come to the similar conclusions.
For example, for older generations, we have Viber, I don't know how you pronounce it. We have a channel on Viber. Because we knew, okay, older people and like the elder generations, they use Viber, and that's probably the only thing that they use on their phone. Why don't we make actually a channel there where we can like share all the news, all the protests, all the info with them? I think this group now has like well over 60,000 people in there, which is a lot. And we were surprised how actually they started like going with all of this. They started following us excessively, obsessively. They were like, what's this? What's that? When is this happening? You know, they were all over the place, and we actually didn't expect that.
And then you got this synergy of different skills, knowledge, and talents of those young people together, and they were so creative.
I mean, after 6 months of peaceful protests and non-political protests where we didn't want anything to do with the politics, we realized, okay, we cannot do this in this way.
We have decided to call for early SNEP parliamentary elections. In these elections, students would support a list composed of individuals who have never been member of any political party or organization, and the candidates for parliament would be chosen by students at the assemblies like plenums. These individuals would not be students, but professors, lawyers, and other people of high integrity and education who have supported the students from the very beginning of the struggle.
Hopefully, you know, winning elections will be just one first step. There is a huge work to be done after that. reinstitutionalizing the society, which was deinstitutionalized for decades.
We are planning a huge, large protest in Belgrade on June 28th on the great Serbian holiday Vidovdan, and we expect a large number of citizens, and we will see what will happen on June 28th.
The protests on the weekend of June 28th got violent and represented an escalation from the government in their response to the protests. After hearing the news, I caught up with Isadora to tell me what was happening.
Kind of like the ultimatum that we gave the president was that he had until 9 p.m. to announce the elections, the time for the elections. When he didn't do that, which we were like predicting he wouldn't, and then we just heard like some loud sound, and we were just like, you know, checking the socials, the news, everything, so we can like get information. And then we heard that the like everything was like basically going south. So we were basically on foot going as far away as we could. And we were just like, it's our best shot if we just hang in a like this bar thing and just act natural. Like, and nothing is going to happen. And we were basically like sitting there and just checking everything. And then like hitched a ride home, and we were just like sitting and watching TV and watching everything going down, and it was like I can't really describe the feeling where it's like you're scared for all those people, you're worried, you're everything, and on the other hand, I'm like disappointed I'm not there. As much as crazy as it sounds, I'm disappointed I'm not there. They were basically chasing after people. You saw like the video I showed you. They chased the people between the buildings in the alleyways and like dragging them on the floor, beating them, like, you know. And it's like I can't put into words how disturbing that is. Totally crazy situation, because you're prepared for them. They were throwing tear gas, there were shock bombs, everything. Like, it was totally insane, like basically a civil war. I can't describe it like any better than that.
The footage of the police brutality and violence is terrifying, and I wondered if this escalation would harm the protest movement.
The more people they arrest every night, the more people they torture, the more people they beat, the more people will be on the streets the next day. Every day, like, not only it started from Belgrade, but it's like whole country right now. Spontaneous blockades, barricades all around the towns, cities, like even small communities, even villages, they're like blocking off the roads going between cities, the roads, the highways, the like everything. So now we're just like, we're kind of like playing this cat and mouse game with them. And it's very fun, actually. And people are like, nobody's afraid of like getting arrested or getting like, you know, beaten or anything as much as bad as it sounds. People are not that afraid of it, because, you know, it's just the way it's got to be.
After speaking with everyone for this story, it is clear that their commitment to this movement is unwavering. Isadora and Stefan have completed their studies, but don't know when they will graduate, because this movement has completely disrupted their schooling. Professor Tomanovic lost her salary because of her support for the protesters. And even after a violent escalation by the government on June 28th, people remain hopeful.
Each protest brings new hope and gives me even more strength to keep fighting for our shared ideals.
We often say in our groups, this is going to be in the books in like 10, 20 years. And then you sit down and think about that, and you're like, whoa. Like, what's happening? Okay, like, this is going to be part of history. Like, the future generations are going to learn about this. And they're going to talk about this in their history class or whatever, sociology especially. Like, that's surreal.
My whole life I'm on the streets. So, I mean, the biggest win here is that the new idea is born. Now, if it's going to happen or not, I don't know. But the idea, the seed has been planted. And I think that seed is can cure the whole world, not only Serbia.
That's it for Sprouts. You have been listening to an audio documentary about the biggest protest movement in Serbian history. Special thanks to our interviewees, Nemanja, Stefan, Isadora, Vukan, and Professor Tomanovic. Our contributor this week was KCSB-FM in Santa Barbara. Music you heard included ancient Serbian music and deep, relaxing background music from In Plain Sight on YouTube, and the Sprouts theme music is Torpedoes on Tuesday by Poison Control Center. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the globe. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to showcase globally on Sprouts, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That is ursula@pacifica.org. I'm Rosie Boltman in Santa Barbara, California. Thank you for listening and see you next week on Sprouts.
You are tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Is autism an epidemic? Or is it a superpower? Are you a little bit on the spectrum? Or are you hashtag actually autistic? I'm Carrie Stewart-Lingle, host of NeuroEmergent.